So I'm going to be talking about when Jesus says, I am the gate. Sometimes it's the door. And I am the good shepherd. Both of them together, because they do kind of can't really have one without the other, as you'll see as I get going. Before I start, just want to say a tip, as if I'm sniffling. Never ever have a extra strong locket whilst wearing a mask and glasses, because the fumes just burn your eyeballs. So I wasn't having an emotional moment. I was just, yeah. So, we're in this season of looking at the I am statements of God. And well, let me just start by reading you the Message version of Psalm 23. God, my shepherd, I don't need a thing. You have bedded me down in lush meadows and find me quiet pools to drink from. True to your word, you let me catch my breath and send me in the right direction. Even when the way goes through the valley, the death valley, I'm not afraid. When you walk at my side, your trusty shepherd's crook makes me feel secure. You serve me a six-course dinner right in front of my enemies. You revive my drooping head. My cup brims with blessing. Your beauty and love chase after me every day of my life. I'm back home in the house of God for the rest of my life. That's quite a familiar passage. You're probably more used to the NIV version. But we're already told there to think about God as our shepherd. And so he's actually referring to us, I guess, as sheep. And we'll come on to what sheep are like in a moment. But now we're looking at the I am statements, but it's worth just mentioning where this comes in the book of John. It comes in chapter 10, but it's just after when Jesus has healed a man born blind that we find out about in chapter 10. And I just think it's important that the start of where Jesus comes from on this is he's basically having words with the Pharisees, because they don't appreciate the fact that he has healed on the Sabbath. And so Jesus is trying to tell them that actually they're the ones that are spiritually blind. And he's trying to open up their eyes to who he is and what he's about. And in actual fact, I love this, what we're about to look at, because it's basically the gospel. In quite succinct terms, if you want to switch off, it's about he is the way, the only way to eternal life. And once you say your yes, he will be your guide from there on, and he will take care of you, as we're told in Psalm 23. Now, just a little bit about sheep. Some people say they're dumb. It's a bit strong, but basically they do need a shepherd because they're quite helpless. They spend their entire day grazing, wandering from place to place and never really look up. And they can often get lost because apparently they have no homing instinct, as many other animals do. Totally incapable of finding their own way back or to their night sheepfold, as many other animals might be able to. And by nature, they're followers. And even if the lead sheep, the one at the top, steps off a cliff, the others will follow. They're susceptible to injuries, and they are utterly helpless against predators. Because if they're all stuck in a pen together and a wolf gets in, they will basically just herd together, they'll huddle together, and that actually makes them easier to slaughter. And if they fall into moving water, they'll drown, which is why sheep won't drink from moving water, which again is like why in Psalm 23, it talks about he leads us beside still waters, because that's the only place in which sheep will actually drink from. So they're utterly dependent upon us as people, but obviously the people that look after sheep are called shepherds. And shepherds have been very prominent in the Bible. One of the first great leaders that was anointed by God was David, who started out life as a shepherd. I know we had Saul before, but he was a bit of a failure. And so David was just stripped out of the fields, a mere shepherd boy who basically had a heart for God. And also I think it's interesting that when Jesus was born, the shepherds were the first visited by the angels to be told that Jesus had been born. And shepherds were the lowest of the low in society. They really weren't considered anything special at all, and yet they were the first ones that his birth was proclaimed to. So Jesus came, left the highest of heaven to come down to earth. And so no wonder he is also calling himself the Good Shepherd, because he wasn't a man of stature or status, just a man full of grace, but also the divine God who became our shepherd. So let's look at the passage. Let's move on before I wander too far from where I'm meant to be talking. So it says in John 10, and I've got up here the Message version, that he calls his sheep by name. Let me set this before you as plainly as I can. If a person climbs over or through the fence of a sheep pen instead of going through the gate, you know he's up to no good. A sheep rustler, a shepherd walks right up to the gate. Because basically, well, I guess a sheep rustler might get in through the back. But what we need to understand is that in order to rest at night, the shepherds would take their flock into sheepfolds or pens, of which there were two kinds, actually. The first did have a gatekeeper, which is mentioned further on in the passage, and that was in the cities. And that's where the shepherd could get real rest, and he would basically pay someone to hold his sheep. But actually, there would be lots of other shepherds' sheep in that same place. But he would always go back to that gatekeeper who would let him in and who would call his sheep, and his sheep would know his name. But then if you went out of the cities, there would be these sheep pens, which were basically just stone or just constructed enclosures to give some kind of safekeeping for the sheep overnight. But there wouldn't be gates on there. And that's where the shepherd himself would lie down and would, in actual fact, become the gate. But it says here, the gatekeeper opens the gate to him. The sheep recognize his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he gets them all out, he leads them and they follow him because they are familiar with his voice. They won't follow a stranger's voice, but will scatter because they aren't used to the sound of it. Now we think about Jesus. As Jesus went through his life with his disciples, he went from town to town. We very often hear about these mass gatherings of people who came to listen to him. And that's the bit that I thought about when it talks about that his sheep recognize his voice. There were so many people that flocked to hear him because there was something about Jesus. There was something about what he had to say that people wanted to listen to. But I just think it's amazing that lots of people listened, but then some did walk away because they didn't recognize what he was saying as being pertinent to them. But those who did continued to follow him. And quite similarly, a shepherd, it weren't as though this is their field, this is their field, we don't mix. Shepherds would come across one another, they'd share watering holes, they'd share sheep pens in the cities, but that shepherd could basically call his sheep and they would come away from the other sheep and simply follow him. And then we're told, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. Basically, what we're learning here is that Jesus, when he called his sheep and they were there in his, under his protection, he became that gate. He becomes the gate for us, or the door, whichever you like to call it. And to get into his safety, which is eternal life, which is the way to the Father, is through him. And we know that there's other parts of the Bible that says the only way to the Father is through me. And this is the analogy that he is trying to get across to the Pharisees and all who were listening at the time. But he was basically stating, you know, I am the way to God, which the Pharisees never did like hearing from Jesus, let's face it. But he said it so many different ways to them. So if we look at the next slide. So it says, anyone who goes through me will be cared for, will freely go in and out and find pasture. A thief is only there to steal, kill, and destroy. I came so they could have real life and eternal life, more and better life than they ever dreamed of. This doesn't mean that if we listen, hear, and respond to Jesus, that our lives will be made perfect, that the Lamborghini you want in the garage will suddenly appear, that your bank balance will suddenly be with a plus sign instead of a minus sign. It doesn't mean that you won't feel pain, sickness, loss, but what it does mean is that you have the assurance of eternal life. And not only that, whilst you're here, whilst we're here, we have someone we can trust that will never, ever leave us or forsake us. And it's like in Psalm 23 when it talks about when we walk through the shadow, the valley of the shadow of death. And I like that because it says shadow of death, not walk through death, but it's a shadow because we are told that death is beaten after we walk with Jesus because he's gone ahead of us and done that for us. But what it does warn us about is that there are wolves that can enter the pen, that there are sheep in wolves' clothing, and that we are to be aware of this. And we're told that they come to, the thief is only there to steal and kill and destroy, but that he came so we could have real and eternal life, more and better life than they ever dreamed of. And it's worth noticing that, or considering that, we need to be careful who we are actually listening to. And it actually goes on to say further on that I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd puts the sheep before himself, sacrifices himself if necessary. A hired man is not a real shepherd. The sheep meaning nothing to him. He sees a wolf come and runs for it, leaving the sheep to be ravaged and scattered by the wolf. He's only in it for the money. The sheep don't matter to him. And I think John is really giving us a serious warning here about false pastors and teachers. Such people are not like the owner of the sheep. The true shepherd of the sheep cares for his flock and is responsible for their well-being. He loves his people with everlasting love. But the false and faithless shepherd sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees away. Obviously, I'm not talking about all pastors. I know of someone who once told me that they would take a bullet for their congregation. And that's basically what Jesus already did. And that's the difference between those who are called to be shepherds, who aren't in it for the money. And without naming names, you can see that some people do, when they get popular, when their churches grow beyond a certain size, that money starts to play more into their lives than actually saving the souls of the people around them and discipling people. I'm not quite sure we could ever accuse a URC minister of that or a youth leader on their salary of that. They've got to be in it for more than just the money, that's for sure. But it does tell us to be careful about who we are listening to. Beware of the voice of strangers. And are we listening to God's voice? Are we being led? Are the people that we put in charge of churches today, are they truly called? Only they can answer that, and only God can answer that. But you can see that actually to be called to look after a big flock of sheep people for God isn't about the money, but it's about the willingness to lay your life down for those people in the name of Jesus so that they can get to know him better, be discipled better. And it does remind me of where Jesus goes to Peter when after he has resurrected and they've gone back to fishing because they don't know what's happening. They've gone back to what they're familiar. And we know that Peter denied Christ. And Jesus basically approaches Peter and speaks to him and says that, "Do you love me?" And then he goes on to say, "Feed my sheep, love my sheep." He was being called then to be a shepherd in place of Jesus. And we, his people, were being referred to as sheep. I don't think God's really saying that we're dumb, but I think there's an awful lot about us following and going off on our own way because we're not looking up is quite true. So we do need to be careful that we are listening to the right voice and voices. That when we listen to pastors, when we listen to podcasts, that we check ourselves that we are listening to the word of God being preached, that we go back to the Bible and back to the original text ourselves to just be sure. Because Jesus tells us, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, I lay my life down for the sheep." And we know that that actually happened. He's talking about what's coming at the time, but we know we are now in that place post-cross. We know that Jesus actually did lay his life down for us. But an interesting thing here is, of course, at the time he's speaking to the Jews. He's speaking about the people of Israel and not about us. But then he does go on to say, "And I have other sheep which are not of this fold. Those also I must bring, and they will listen to my voice, and they will become one flock, one shepherd." Because he's brought us, all of us who believe in Jesus, we're all together in one flock now. And we've all been called. And actually we're privileged for those of the Jewish people at the time who actually didn't believe and still carried on following their rigid religious Pharisees, because in a way it made space for us. And but all along, God says that he so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believed in him would not perish. And so we are very privileged that although at the time he was referring to the Jews and they would totally have understood this analogy of shepherds and sheep, that he also includes us. So we mustn't forget that we are part of this. We are the called children of God. He goes on to say, the reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. Again, he's talking about what he did. And although this is something we've all heard before, I just, again, love the way that this whole analogy of him being the shepherd and being willing to be the gate, to be the door, to protect us when we've heard his voice, when we come into his fold, and how he will then guide us through life, how he will lead us beside those still waters, though we will always be refreshed in him, that there is an everlasting amount of his love through the Holy Spirit running through us, that he gives us that water that will quench us forever, and that he, through his rod and staff, it says in the NIV, so he has something there to beat off the wolves, but also to keep us on track. And so it is the full gospel just in this, that he is the gate, he is the only way in to the club, if you like. And he will then, once we've gone in, show us the way in and out, show us the way to good pastures, show us the way to live, and that he will love and protect us from that day forwards. And even more than that, that by doing this, it means that he has done this. He has laid his life down for us. He has stepped in the path of the most vicious wolf that we have no chance of defending by ourselves. No chance at all. We sing songs and we've sang about, you know, no one comes against God. If we're for God, no one can be against us. Well, they can try. You know, we can still see the wolves prowling round sometimes, but we have a God who has already defeated that enemy. And we have a free passage into that sheepfold. And whilst we walk on this earth, he will be there with his crook. And he has called other people to carry crooks for us. If anyone's ever been in Louise's office, she has this kind of spiritual crook in there, which she knows how to use to pull us back onto the right path, and has used it on me a couple of times. So basically, it comes down to Jesus is the only way, the truth, and the life. And we're going to hear more about that as we go through the I am statements. So what does this all mean for us? There are, I'm sure, most of us here who have acknowledged who Jesus is, that we've walked up to the gate and said, I know who you are, I know what you've done for me, and I'm sorry, but I thank you for what you've done for me. And I want to come in. And then there may be some of you listening online who haven't. But there are many people who you could contact through this church to learn more. But the truth of the matter is, the Bible says it quite clear that Jesus is the only way, that Jesus is the one that protects us, But more than that, that it's the only way is to pass through that gate, is to go up to that door ourselves. I can't remember the name of the painting, but there's that famous painting where Jesus is on one side and someone's on the other. But there's no handle on Jesus' side, only on ours. We have to let him in, or we have to approach him and ask to go through in this analogy. We need to listen to hear his voice. And are we listening to the right voices? And one good way of hearing his voice is to know his word, because that way we get to know the Good Shepherd even more, and the closer we can become to him. If we read his word and inwardly digest it and apply it to every area of our life, although I quite like the fact that we should actually apply our lives to the Bible, it gives us far less get-out clauses. We mustn't be deceived by any hirelings, and we mustn't allow ourselves to be scattered by vicious wolves. This is why I like the fact that we're in a flock, because we can group together like we do now and worship our one and only God. We can actually help one another if we see someone going astray. But not to worry, because Jesus will always leave the 99 to go and find that one. And there are some of us who need to pray for that one because they've gone astray. People we know, people we love. And we want more and more people to know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. We want them to know Jesus as their shepherd. I've been wondering how we can wrap this up, what it is that God wants us to do tonight. And there are things that we've said through here, which is about hearing his voice, hearing the Master's voice. And some of you really want to hear that. You really want to know what he wants for you next. Because we all would like to see the bigger plan, wouldn't we? We'd all like to see the other side of the tapestry, rather than the messy knots that we very often can see before us. So I'll ask the band to come up. But there are also some of us who may be ducking and diving from that crook. We may know that we've gone astray. We may know that there are things in our lives that we are trying to hide from God. But we can't, because he sees all. And so I'm still not sure, and probably because there are some of you who are desperate to hear from God, desperate for that touch, desperate to know that he sees you. Even though the Bible says he sees you, he'll never leave you. And maybe we can use this time in worship. But whether it's we're wanting to hear from God, or we're wanting to actually come and confess and be honest before God, because you're already forgiven, because the cross has already happened. He doesn't do it again and again. It's all done. And take some time during this song, I Surrender. To surrender, because actually I think that's what God's calling us to do. Surrender to his voice. Surrender to his shepherding. And to receive from him, because all God wants to do is pour out his love on you. Pour out that infilling. There'll be many of you who are tired and worn out, and sometimes when we're tired, we can't hear him, because we're too tired. So maybe you just need to sit and receive. There may be some of you who want a touch from God tonight. And if you're feeling brave enough, then I'd say during this time of worship, we do have space down the front to just come and to just open your arms as a sign of I am surrendering. I'm willing to step out of my comfort zone. I'm willing to come forward to receive from you, whether it's a word, whether you need to just come and lay something at the cross, whatever it is, because we're all in different places. So I think as the music starts, I'm just going to invite the Holy Spirit to come, to guide, to convict, to do whatever Jesus wants to do. This is about surrendering to what Jesus wants. This is about giving up on our hopes and dreams, giving up on what we want now, and just asking God, what do you want to give to me? I surrender my all, and I will receive what you have for me. Come, Holy Spirit. Precious Heavenly Father, will you do a work in us tonight? Would you inspire people? Would you give them the bravery that they need to come forwards? But would you touch them where they are? Would you anoint the band to lead us right into that throne room, Lord? May we all leave here knowing we've been touched by Jesus. And I pray as well that Jesus, you will touch those that are watching online, that they will feel like they're here, because Holy Spirit, you're everywhere. So would you just come? Would you wrap your arms around those who need it? Would you fill them with the power that they need to go on tomorrow? Would you give them the comfort that you hear them, that you see them, that you know them, that you love them, and that you've saved them. Amen.